Okay, so let's open in prayer and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your word, to study and to grow and to learn. And Father, we just thank you for this ladies that got to be new in our class today. And we just thank you for your watch care over us. Be with all of us. Heal those that are sick. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Philippians 2:3 is where our memory verse is for this time. And it says, esteem other better than themselves. So right there's one instance in the Bible that the word is talking about not esteeming, having self-esteem. And as we learn in our first chapter, being dead to sin, yielding to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in our lives to overcome the urge to sin, the desire to sin is always going to be with us, but we at least have help, and we need to rely on that help more than we do so that we don't run into those problems that we've talked about. Saying, you know, I can't overcome this, and oh yeah, so ladies, last week we got one of these. Here, pass those down, Glory, to those ladies over there, please. We had a ladies' retreat, and this was in the book, and it went right along with all of the stuff that we had been studying. And so we went over that last week, looked up all those verses, and it's just something that you can keep when you feel defeated, you feel like, okay, I can't go on, I can't do this anymore. God's word has something to say about it, and he's on our side, and this is a wonderful thing. Well, now we're going to turn it kind of inward a little bit, which we still were, but self-centeredness is basically at the root of all the ugly sins that we saw in the end of chapter 1 about, you know, adultery and uncleanness and lasciviousness and all those ones that were listed in the book. So, but they're all, if you look at them, they all have a self-centered nature to them. It's what I want. Even when you're jealous of someone, it's still a self-centered approach to, you don't like what they have or something about this person, but it's still, I don't like something. It's still geared, it's still self-centered strife. A lot of times it's made up in our mind. We think up difficulties. This is what Carmen was talking about yesterday at the ladies' meeting. It's like we let our emotions run the gamut and run over us and be in control of us when we don't need to. Where we need to rein them in and be a little more in control of ourselves. So, but the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to get to start in the next chapter, which I'm so excited about, we actually get to be in what the book is talking about. We finally get to get there. So, we learned in lesson one, we have to be emptied of ourselves so we can be filled with the Spirit. So we have, the world says love yourself, God says deny yourself. Okay, so who do we listen to? What is influencing our thinking? Do we go more on the, I have to love myself, I have to forgive myself, I have to, you know, la la la, hearts and flowers? Or do I have to deny myself like the Lord says and crucify my flesh daily and you know, yield to the Holy Spirit? And that's not about me, that's about him. Well, who died for me? Me or him? So it's like, it's an obvious answer, but it's not so obvious to do all the time. So, the world tells us to accept ourselves and you know, learn your faults and blah, 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 all that. But Luke 14:26 is our first, let's go there.
Thank you.
All right, so Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's kind of hard. And the word hate in this verse, actually I'm going to look it up, because I know, I've looked this up before, that the word hate is not like we think, you know, you're supposed to hate everyone that's around you. That's not quite the meaning of that. Is it hate? It's just hate, right? Yes. Everybody know how to use their concordance?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Well, let's have a lesson. If anybody has their concordance, in the very front of your concordance is like a dictionary. Okay? So any word that you want to find in the Bible is in your concordance. If it's in the Bible, it's in this book. So even if you only know like one word out of the verse, you can find the verse in there by looking up that word. And it goes down, it lists every place where that word is in the Bible. So you go to down until you find the one that you want, and then you can find your verse. So hate in my book is on page 571, but if you look it up like a dictionary, the word hate, and I know that I'm in Luke, so I'm going to go all the way down all these verses until I find Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Wait a minute.
Luke 14.
It's 14. Yeah, right. There it is. I'm like, see, it's not in here. It's like, okay, so after Luke 14:26, there's a number. It says 3404. But if you
look, go back with me here.
Okay.
I got hate.
You got hate and you found Luke 14:26.
Okay,
no, these are in scripture order. Okay, so then you go down to the New Testament, Luke 14:26. Now why don't you have numbers after
it's to
All right, well anyway. Okay, so, well I'll look at yours in a little bit. Anyway, so
that figure out that's how you go to Luke 14:26 and then it's gonna tell me.
No, in mine there's a number. There's a number after, see, 3404. But if you look at the numbers in here, there's 8130, and then there's 3404. Those are the, and then there's one that's 7852. Everything else, so there's only three meanings for the word hate in God's word, and there's three separate meanings, but the one we're going to look at today is 3404. Now, because we're in the New Testament, we're going to go to the back of the book, but we're going to go to the Greek side. It'll say Greek or it'll say Hebrew. Okay, so Greek is how the New Testament was interpreted, and Hebrew is how the Old Testament is interpreted. So if your verse is in the Old Testament, you want to make sure you look up the number in the Hebrew part. And if it's in the New Testament, you want to look up the number in the Greek part, because otherwise you'll be totally confused and you won't know what you're looking for. So 3404 is in my Greek section. Okay. It says, from a primary misos, or hatred, to detest, to persecute, to love less. So that's basically what we could put that right into. If any man come to me and love less, not his father and mother and wife. Basically, we're not to put anyone ahead of God, is how this verse is reading. We're not to hate our family, but we are to
love less than God.
Love less than God, exactly. We are to not put anyone above our love for the Lord. That's why it has to be Him first. Then our spouses, if we have them. Then our children if we have them, then our friends. But it there's an order. Just like in the order in the church, there's an order in our homes. God's word is ordered, and we need to be that same way in our relationships. So basically, so we have to deny ourselves. We have to put others below us in, you know, in our, in the way we think of them and the reverence or the time we spend. If we're not putting God first, those other relationships aren't going to be what they're supposed to be. They're not going to be and grow, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to, things just aren't going to be right in your relationships. And it's easy to, when you're at home and you're with your children, that it's like all your energy goes into your children and your husband's gone and you're there with the kids and it seems like they're your whole world. And then your husband comes home and you're like, you know, I don't have any more time for you. I can't. And it's just, it's like a circle. But if God's first, then you can keep your priorities in the right mindset. For you single ladies, right now, your strongest commitment should be to the Lord. You should love the Lord with every, you have the best opportunity as opposed to anyone else to give the Lord your all, because you have, other than your school and your job, you don't have anything else pulling on your attention. You can be in love with the Lord totally and without hindrance. And but we all need to kind of be in that mindset where God is first and he's my one and only, and everything else falls into place. And so there's a, the first question says, look up self-love and self-esteem in the dictionary. So I did that. And self-love says the instinct or desire to promote one's own well-being, regard for, or love of self, which is pretty obvious. And self-esteem is pride in oneself. So not only are we looking at, you know, and then if somebody says something, if you're in that mindset, and all of a sudden somebody says, you know, Jerry, that red just, I'm sorry, it doesn't look good on you. Then, you know, then exactly, you know, it's like, or you say something about someone else to someone else, and then they overhear it. It's like, so then our pride and our self-esteem is just wounded all the time. We're just being slashed all over the place because somebody says something to us. And so our little self, huh, look at me, but don't I look so wonderful today? And then somebody goes, you feel all right today? You know, and it's like, here we go. And down.
You look there.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Exactly. And so we're this, it's up and down and up and down. And, you know, but if it's like, okay, the Lord,
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm actually.
The Lord loves me. The Lord made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I may not be a model. I may not be beautiful, but the Lord made, I'm beautiful in his eyes. And that's how we need to think about it. It doesn't matter outwardly to anyone else. Your spouse loves you. He picked you. So there, you know, and yes, after whoever knows how many years that it's been that you've been with them, but they're not the same either. So it's like, you know, it's like they're not still the same either. So, but you've grown. You've learned to love each other in your new, you know, as you've changed, as you've aged. So then it said, the second question says, use your concordance and look up the verses for self-love and self-esteem. Guess what? It ain't in here. Nowhere is that word in here. There is love and there is self, but there is not self-love. No kidding. That is not that answers that is not in his vocabulary. So, you know, it just gives us that even more, you know, assurance that
his would be selfless love.
Thinking, and even Christ didn't think of himself when he died on the cross. He thought of us. He esteemed himself. He put himself in the lowest position and died on the cross, a cruel death for us. He was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of us. That should be the epitome of how we need to think about ourselves. I mean, the one who loved me the most didn't think of himself when he died for me. And that's just the epitome of... So, question 3, the Bible never tells us to love ourselves or have a high esteem for ourselves. But in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, where our memory verse starts, Philippians, I know it's in here. All right, so Philippians 2. Jenny, can you read 3 and 4, please? I know, Philippians gets lost in it.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Okay, so there we go. And then Luke 14:26 is the next one, which was what we just were looking at. So we just read that verse, Luke 14:26, the one about hating father and mother and, I mean, Acts. No wonder it doesn't read the right way. So, yes, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So, we're to think of other people first. And I learned an acronym a long time ago.
Joy.
Yep. Others. So, basically... The only way to have joy is to put this in practice. Jesus is first, others are next, and I am last. But if you think about it, if I'm thinking about everyone else, someone's thinking about me. So I get thought of just as much as I think of other people. As long as I put Jesus first, he gives me the ability to put others in their right place, and then others think of me. And this is how you can have joy. If it gets out of whack, though, it does not spell joy. So you can't have joy. Okay, so so we're to esteem others. We're to not put anybody on a pedestal, but we're to pray for them. We're to encourage them. We're to ask about them. We're get out of our box. Get out of our self, out of our head, and look around. There, you may think my life is a wreck, or woe is me, I've got so many problems. But if you stop looking inward and look outward, you're going to see there are people out there that have worse scenarios than you think you're in at the moment. And your focus is not on you, it's on what can I do to make you feel better? What can I offer to do for you? And little by little, you start not dwelling on how you feel. And you feel a little better. And then someone else comes to you and say, what can I do for you today? And it's just a big circle, and it just keeps going around, and everybody is in a better place, and we're not dwelling on woe is me, and, you know, and wanting to tell everybody all of my problems all the time, because it's like, what does the point of that? It doesn't make them change. So, but we have all these advocates in the world right now. Self-love. We have to love ourselves. We can't love God if we don't love ourselves first. And the more, if you really think about that, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever that if I love me, it's like, I'm nothing. I'm nothing compared to who he is. And thinking more about me just makes me look at, you know, the, yes, ma'am.
She also really don't know what love is until you learn to love God.
Exactly. Our concept of love is so self-centered in all aspects that until I knew what God did for me and that love, wow, you know, you think you love someone, but that's the ultimate. Being, you know, dying for someone, and that, you know, that he loved me that much, and what did I do to deserve that? Nothing. And my whole life has been, you know, was like a train wreck, and it's just like, why would you do that though? That was very hard to get around and to grasp before I accepted him. And it's like, but why would he do that? So, and that's true, that agape love, that self-sacrificing love, the closest we can get in human terms is the love that we have for our children. When you have children, you know that self-sacrificing, that, and I just lost the word that I want. Oh, goodness. What's the...
Just keep talking.
It's not self-sacrificing. What is the word? Unconditional. There it is. I knew it would happen. That we have that for our children. No matter how angry, how upset, whatever they've done, you still love them unconditionally. You may not like them very much or like what they're doing, but you love them. And that love is never going to go away. And that's the same love to a higher extent that God has for us. So, there's another verse, Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. This has to do with our love for others, and this is in the aspect of our husbands loving their wives. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So, really, we've never, in that aspect, we don't hate ourselves. We don't like ourselves sometimes, but hating ourselves as a person, that's kind of hard for man to do. I mean, I guess there are people that really hate themselves. That's probably why, you know, they're suicide and, you know, they don't care.
You've got to realize that there's a lot of mental illness.
Right. And
if they're in their right mind,
well, exactly.
They don't hate themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, but... like it says, you know, for no man yet hateth his own flesh. You know, God is saying that, you know, there is this inward desire that we're not going to turn on ourselves in a sense. But we don't need to fuel that. We don't need to breed that love. We need to give it out. We need to love the brethren, love others more than what we think of ourselves. And then there's this little poem, I guess, or this little whatever it is down here at the bottom. All wrapped up in me, myself, and I. I love me. I love to hear you talk about me. I view myself continually in what you say about me. I expect to be appreciated. I am sensitive to slights. I never forgive a criticism. I trust no one but myself. I demand you agree with me on everything. One of the world's most unattractive packages is a person all wrapped up in themselves. And we could probably all go around the room, and if you thought about it, you know somebody that's pretty much all conversations dwell right around back around to them, or they have, you know, their opinion is always more important than anyone else, and it goes on and on. So, but then the Bible also talks about having a poor self-image, that you need to love yourself more, you need to, but even portraying that low self-image is still prideful. It's still self-centered. It's still, I want everyone to look at me, look at how pitiful I am, look at my life is so bad, and blah, blah, blah. And it still comes from an inward attitude. It's still prideful. It's still, you may not want attention, but you're still trying to get it all focused on you and what's going on bad in your life. It's still that same focus. Pride, self-centeredness is usually still generated or demonstrated in a life of a person that's, you know, has a poor self-image. They're focusing on themselves, even if it's in the negative, instead of in the positive. They want to just show everyone how unworthy they are or how they feel about themselves.
So it's like when a child misbehaves and they want attention, so they misbehave, even though it's negative, it's still attention.
Right, and some children
do that.
See, well, they do that, but it seems like that's the only attention that they ever get, is a negative attention. So then they're striving, but they don't know how to strive for positive attention, because it seems like they can't get out of the vicious circle that's happening, and they're always seeming to be getting negative attention, and they don't know how to break the circle, so it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. Where as parents, we need to focus on positive reinforcement for, in a sense, negative outcomes. We need to find the positive in the situation. Okay, you may not have done everything that I asked you to do, but let's focus on what you did right. I'm so proud of you for getting, you know, this much of what I wanted you to do. Now, that energy that you put into that, let's focus, and you know, and you can still bring it around as a correction, but it still needs to be, you need to look at the positive in your children, and you need to enforce the positive, because it helps them to strive to do better. They can only achieve as much as their learning and their mental, you know, as their age allows. Don't put higher demands on your old, you know, your older ones and your younger ones. They can't be the same. You know, there has to be a balance for all of your children, because everybody learns at a different rate and a different way, and they all have, you know, their own strengths and weaknesses, and that's the fun of having children, because they're all not little. They may all look the same, but they all aren't the same. And so even if we went back to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, from the very beginning, man's pride was their downfall. Adam and Eve had it going on, basically. They had everything that they could possibly want, and Satan got in there and said, but look, you could be like God. You could have all the answers. Ooh, yay, what a wonderful thing. And here it comes. There's the pride. And then it all fell apart. And down the drain it went. And ever since then, we are burdened with that attitude. So, pride, but I don't know what I want to say. We have to be careful in not being prideful, but look at our accomplishments, especially if they're done in the Lord, as a good thing. We can have pride in something we've done. It's the self-pride that I'm better than others. There's a difference. There's a fine balance that you have to achieve in your life. You can be proud of things that you've accomplished.
Isn't that like a self-fulfillment of what you've accomplished more than pride is what you need? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in it, like let's take Monique and my daughter, for example. They've went to nursing school. That's a big accomplishment.
Right.
But they both realize that the Lord helped them.
Yes.
She said that more and more times. It's like, okay, the Lord got me through college, and he helped me learn all, and keeps it all in my head. Because it was, like I said, it was nothing that I did. Because there were times she'd call me on the phone. Okay, this is the semester that's going to kill me. This is the one that's I'm coming home. And, you know, and I'm like, no, Lord's got you this far. He's going to get you, you know, get out of that thinking. You can do it. And, you know, Monique's the same example. We got Tony and Neek are going to college. Every time you go to school, you and the Lord are majority. You can do it. Just like the little paper I passed around. You didn't get one of those, did you? Here. You need one of those, too. You need one, too? That's my last one, so if anybody wants to make copies.
I have one, so.
You have, that's right, you have the book. Okay, so. Jerry needs one. She wasn't here last week either. We can make some more. I have the book, so I can make some more copies. But it's that's just, I like that. I'm got it pinned up at home. It's like, okay, I can do this. You know, and you know, we all have those days where it's like, Lord, help me. it just happens all the time. Okay, so we're going to stop here at the end of question 5. We're going to start up with question 6. So if you want to read over 6, and there's a lot of verses to look up over on page 20. If you want to start on any of those, would be a good idea. So, yeah, the 15th, we do have class next week. So 6, 7, and 8 has verses 9. I wouldn't say you can get through the whole thing, but try to do these two pages, page 19 and 20, so that we can start going over those when we come back next week. And remember, your memory verse is Philippians 2:3. Commit that to your memory bank. I know.
She's like that. She gives us all
the little eye. Do your memory verse.
One time or another.
My brain.
That's good thing I'll leave home, don't
And now her scooter.
And her scooter. Well, that's going to free up your mind a little bit. And then there we go.
Then I can do this.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm looking at that and driving.
Okay. Miss Andrea, can you close us in prayer, please? Okay. We're going to pray, ladies.